This is a story about the late, great, two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Anthony Shadid. But as you'll hear, it's also about what it's like to be the child of someone who worked in war zones. That's where we often reached Anthony. We also sat down with him at public events at one in 2011. I asked him to read from his article in Granta about the post-war, once proud but now ravaged Baghdad College.
Baghdad College welcome you. The sign reads along a street that is ordinary, but only if you live in Baghdad. Nothing really escapes the detritus of death in this wreck of a city. The date trees are unharvested, fruit shriveled by the sun falling into a pyre of overgrown weeds. A dusty black banner mourning two Iraqi soldiers killed in the line of duty stretches along its curb, plowed with bottles of Tuborg beer, plastic bags, some of them snared in barbed wire, and empty packages of Foster Clark's corn flour.
I think he was the most decorated foreign correspondent of his era.
I know, I miss him. You must miss him.
Oh, we miss him a lot. And often, you can't imagine how often people say, I wonder how Anthony would have written about this. Now we know better how he would have done it. Come on in. Sorry.
Say war's back. Any war's
back. Come on in.
That's journalist and teacher Rami Khoury, recently throwing wide the door to his new course on the writings of Anthony Shadid at the Middle East Initiative at Harvard's Kennedy School. Both men reported extensively from the Middle East. After Anthony died of an asthma attack while covering the civil war in Syria, carried out of that country by photographer Tyler Hicks, Anthony's widow, Netta Bakri, with whom he had a son, donated his papers to the American University of Beirut. That's where Rami saw them and said, we have to have this workshop.
I realized what a unique insight this was into one of the greatest writers of our time, and started systematically analyzing what made him such an outstanding writer.
And what did you find? Because people might be surprised. You know, they think, well, you sit down at a computer and you bang away at it. But you were saying he had outlines, he had notes. What did you see?
He wanted to be a Middle East correspondent from his years in high school. He thought the region was not well covered, and he wanted to do a better job. He wanted to let the voices of the people of the region come through the reporting.
Did he say that? Did you find diary notes to himself?
Diary notes, interviews, and his editors all said this. He knew you can walk into a cafe, you can go into a library, go into a taxi, you're going to get some great insights. Looking them in the eye, repeating their names, I mean, little tricks like that. He'd talk to somebody and he'd say, oh, is that so, Robin? Oh, really? Robin, tell me more. He'd repeat the person's name he was talking to. And he made these detailed outlines that looked like movie scripts, in which he went through his copious notes and what he had seen, cigarette wrappers, old shoes, a dented car, a new freshly painted fence, whatever it was. He noted all these details. And then he decided what was the theme of his story, what he wanted to convey, and then he sat down and wrote it. So the writing was the last and easiest part in many ways.
And the reading of it, as a reader, I would start reading an article. Instead of seeing, you know, the government of Iraq has announced that, I'd see on a cold concrete slab a mosque caretaker wash the body of 14-year-old Arkan Day for the last time. And I'd go, what? And I'd look up and it would say Anthony Shadid.
Right.
By the way, about a paragraph down in this article, he's speaking with the caretaker dealing with this 14-year-old's corpse, a boy who was, in the words of his father, like a flower. Like a flower.
Yeah, exactly.
This is one of the articles you've asked the students to read for today.
Right.
Come on in.
Hey.
Hi.
You must be Layla.
I am,
nice,
yes.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
That's Anthony Shadid's now 18-year-old daughter, Layla. She was 10 when her dad died. Anthony's widow, Netta, has already attended a class. Today, his first wife, Julie Jolin, and their daughter, Layla, are here. She's now studying to be a journalist.
I'm double majoring in communications and Middle Eastern studies.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it makes my heart sore. I mean, I'm just so pleased and honored that they would attend, and especially Layla, because she wants to be a journalist. And the archives and the material that I've collected will be a great boon for her, about her father and about good journalism and just really about good humanity. Anthony was a great success because he was a great human being. So let's get started. So I'd like to hear from you. What did you think this was about? The surface story here is about caretakers preparing people to be buried after some bombings. That's the surface story. But what's it really about?
What's very striking to me as I read this article is how delicate they're talking about the process in which they're taking care of this young boy and the grieving process that families are trying to go through, despite, like, he didn't have to say it's a dignified way. It's just the way of him talking about this child and the family was very dignified.
I just wanted to say I remember when this front page of the Washington Post.
This is Anthony Shadid's first wife, Julie.
Lila was two. All the other stories were like weapons of mass destruction and deploy this. And then there was this very sad story of a young child's burial.
I just wanted to reinforce Julie's point. I was the foreign editor of the Boston Globe.
James Smith, Anthony's former editor from the Boston Globe, tells the story of how after Anthony was shot by an Israeli sniper in Ramallah in 2002, he refused to leave unless his Palestinian interpreter could leave as well. In 2011, while with the New York Times, he was briefly taken hostage with other journalists in Libya by Muammar Gaddafi. The students continue to marvel at his writing.
Unfinished red brick buildings overlooking markets, disgorged in the streets. I mean, he has such beautiful poetry.
Thank you. See you next week.
After the class, students gather around Judy Jolin and Layla, Anthony's daughter.
And this has been such a pleasure to know that they're, you know, we say we stand on the shoulders of giants. I feel like he was one of those giants.
Thank you. Yeah.
What was that like for you, Layla?
Really powerful. I learned the formula of my dad's writing, interweaving human experience and hard news. He had bookshelves filled with stacks and stacks of these little yellow notebooks. I always saw him, you know, taking out a notebook and, you know, typing something on his computer really fast and closing it, going to another one. There are so many things I want to ask him, a lot of which I'm learning through his writing, analyzing it like we did here, and hearing everyone else's praises of his work really helps me understand who my dad was as a writer and helps me develop my own sense of self in a lot of ways.
You wrote an amazing essay, and we'll post it. It begins with, "I read his books, his articles, absorbing every word in search of his identity, in search of mine. I run my finger across the page, desperately trying to grasp the meaning of each word."
Yes, having to take breaks often because it can be very emotionally tolling, but I see his character in his words, and in some ways I feel like when I'm reading his writing, it's him talking to me and teaching me about what was so important to him, especially reading House of Stone. It's about our ancestors' home in Marjayoun, Lebanon, that he rebuilt. He speaks about his feelings, his guilt that I didn't even realize he had.
Guilt about going away so much?
Yeah, about not being around as much as he wished he could have in my childhood. That book really felt like a blessing. I learned, you know, so much about myself in a lot of ways and where I come from and the importance of being Lebanese, an Arab American woman in a world that often villainizes the Middle East. I think that's what really fueled my dad, and he wanted me to understand it. I remember my dad's words. I try to mimic that.
I'm sitting here listening to you. You look so much like him. Do people tell you that?
Yeah, people do, I think, as I get older.
You also, very matter-of-factly, lay out how his need to go, especially post 9/11, to these war zones probably broke up your parents' marriage. You describe in excruciating detail how he died. Previous to that, he was almost killed with a bullet. You would be forgiven if you said, "I hate journalism."
How could I be attracted to the art that killed my father? In a lot of ways, journalism brings me closer to him. But at the same time, I think about the toll it took on our family, about the toll it took on me as a young child, always so worried about him. I knew before my mom even told me that he had died that day. But he changed journalism forever. He changed perceptions of the Middle East. and the work he did was so, so important. And because of that, you know, I know that I need to write. I need to be in the Middle East. I need to be a voice. I need to carry on his legacy. And I hope that I can do that in a way that's safe. But I understand why he had to do what he did. And I am so proud to be his daughter. And every single day, I think about my dad and I think about his legacy. And it informs pretty much every choice I make.
Thank but you really enjoy it.
I love this. Thank okay. you.
Before we leave, Rami Khoury presents Layla with some of her father's papers. I ask her mother, Julie, how she feels about Layla's plans to follow in her father's footsteps to the Middle East. She gives me a pained but proud look. For more on Harvard's Kennedy School course on the writings of Anthony Shadid, go to hearnow.org.